This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
This is the story of the one. He's responsible for keeping a leading healthcare facility clean and safe. And he trusts Grainger's high-quality HVAC cleaning and safety products, combined with their world-class supply chain, to consistently deliver, ensuring he's covered inside and out, so he can focus on keeping his facility clean to help protect the health of everyone inside. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
Taxes was not knowing your full financial picture. Now Taxes is getting and maximizing your refund all in one place. Credit Karma, where a TurboTax expert can do your taxes for you. They'll get you the most money back, guaranteed. Then you can do more with all that money, all in Credit Karma. Now this is Taxes. Intuit Credit Karma with TurboTax. Get started today. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
We just want to have enough money for retirement.
And travel to visit our grandchildren.
I understand. That's why at Fisher Investments, we start by getting to know each other, so I can learn about your family, lifestyle, goals, and needs, allowing us to tailor your portfolio.
What about commission-based products?
We don't sell those. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in your best interest.
So how do your management fees work?
We have a simple management fee based on the value of your portfolio, so we do better when you do better.
We appreciate that kind of transparency.
We also check in with you regularly to keep you up to date on the markets and your portfolio.
What other services do you offer?
As a client, you have access to resources on investing, financial planning, estate planning, Social Security, Medicare, and more.
Wow, it sounds like Fisher Investments has everything we need.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us about an hour from now at 8 o'clock on the show. Looking forward to that conversation. So, free agency, this time next week, on Tuesday morning, we will be coming in. And I'm guessing, if I had to guess, just based on last season, we will be coming in and we won't be talking about the Texans making a huge splashy move on day one of free agency. So that's Monday of next week. Starts at noon on Monday. The illegal tampering starts, but that's when all the reports of deals get dropped. So we'll start learning about guys signing literally like lunchtime on Monday. The first ones happen within 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, are agreeing. They agree.
They're not
signing officially until... But
Wednesday.
What was that text that you read to me during the break?
I'll read it in a second.
As we approach free agency.
Okay, yes. I'll read it now. Because you and I just got done talking about the Texans' free agency season last year, and that I think you and I are in agreement. By and large, it was pretty good. You know, for free agency, it was a pretty good hit rate. the crown jewel of free agency. The crown jewel of free agency being Danielle Hunter. Although I kind of mixed Joe Mixon into that same group because he was about to get cut.
Yeah.
And they traded a seventh round pick for him. So I'll throw Mixon in there. Probably helps the grade. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. And we'll get into the top guys at each position here that that intrigue me both as a Texan fan and an NFL fan here in just a second. Text message, in keeping with tradition, though, winning free agency never works.
Okay, I have an issue with never because that's false. That's 100% false. I'd say the Eagles signing Saquon Barkley was looked at as a very big move that tended to work out. CJ Gardner-Johnson for 3 years. I mean, Zach Bond, Zach Bond wasn't lauded initially as a huge free agency get, but they built that Super Bowl championship team partly out of an aggressive free agency.
Yeah.
And so and this is the thing though. Most things never work, or very rarely work. Yeah, the off-season strategy for the vast majority of NFL teams don't work out. Sometimes being aggressive in free agency is a good thing. More times than not, just like with every other strategy, no, it's not. It doesn't get you to the championship game, because only four teams get to a conference championship
game. Yeah, there's not 10 Super Bowl winners. There's one, you know?
As you pointed out, the Bengals made it to a Super Bowl after an extremely aggressive offseason in free agency.
Uncharacteristically aggressive, They signed DJ Reader. They signed Trey Hendrickson. This is back in 2021. They signed Mike Hilton to play corner for them. Yeah.
But I do think that listener is at least partly agreeing with us because we were saying, hey, don't freak out if you're not super aggressive on day one of free agency.
Yeah, yeah. And I would submit, and I am reading this text to be about the Texans of 2024 when he says, in keeping with tradition... Because that's a little snarky. Winning free agency never works. I would submit that the free agency class that the Texans signed was not, if anything, that was a positive reason for them going 10-7 in the first place and winning the division.
Well, the other thing that the Texans did with their free agency class last year was that they were aggressive, but they did it with short-term contracts, relatively short-term contracts, all 3 years or less.
Yep.
So it's not one of those spends in free agency that handcuffs you 3 years down the line. You go to a couple years from now, and the Texans are actually in pretty good shape via the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not aggressive the way some teams have gone in the past whole hog and signed all these long deals that if you don't win right now, you're screwed. So my big disagreement with that text is the never part.
Yeah.
So whether it's the Texan strategy last year or various other teams, the Broncos, when they won their Super Bowl, it was in a year when they went super aggressive in free agency.
Yeah.
It does work, but I agree that you shouldn't get overly excited about aggressive free agency because it takes a lot more than just that.
I think where it really works is if you got a team that's like already a playoff team and you're putting the finishing touches on it with free agency.
Yeah.
Although the Bengals were not a good team in Joe Burrow's rookie year, and all of a sudden the free agency vaulted them, so maybe they're a bad example. But I think in general, like the Broncos are a good example you bring up. I think that's what the Texans felt like they were last year. You know, 10-7, few big moves. C.J. Stroud, rookie contract, we're right in the mix. So this will be fun, man. It'll be a fun week next week to see what happens. It doesn't feel like as sizzly a class of free agents this year as there were last year, especially at certain positions that we'll get to. But The Athletic has put out their top 10 at each position in free agency. And there's only a couple of these positions I think the Texans are going to be dialed in on, and we'll get to those in just a second. Quarterback is going to be very interesting, Seth, just because of the names, the musical chairs, the lack of oomph in this draft class of quarterbacks. I think there's going to be teams that are maybe a little more desperate to get veteran guys. The craziest thing to me, this is one of those, if someone had told you 2 years ago or 3 years ago that Sam Darnold would be the domino that needs to fall before we know what happens with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Before we find out if Aaron Rodgers is going to be pursued by the Giants.
Yeah, or anybody, right?
Things.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy is Sam Darnold, and credit him, he's only 28 years old too, which is wild. It just feels like he's been around forever. Sam Darnold, still young, a chance to cash in here. And it sounds like the Raiders and the Giants are the two big ones for him right now.
He's going to get a legitimate shot somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a team that thinks, okay, this is our guy for the next 10 years. But it's certainly that, hey, we can do something right now. And the Raiders, I'm still confused by the whole Raiders going after Matt Stafford dynamic, because either Tom Brady never intended to bump into him into Montana, but also the Raiders made an aggressive offer to him. Yeah. Okay, great, whatever. The Raiders made an offer to Stafford, and Stafford decided, like, hell no, I'm not going to leave a good team for
right,
you guys.
Right, 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 a Super Bowl contender. If I'm Darnold, it's a no-brainer for me. I am not going back to New York. And I know it's not with the same team he was with, but I got to imagine, for a guy who, when he was on the field with the Jets, said he saw ghosts, I would imagine he would see ghosts just getting back into that stadium. Plus, I would rather go play for Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly than I would Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
All right. The seeing ghost things has been way blown out of proportion. That's just a football thing that people say. It's when you're over-reading the coverages, or you're starting to coaches talk about that when they're game planning and say, don't coach against ghosts.
No, I'm just saying
don't start playing out every scenario in your brain.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying I'm being cute. I'm just saying he might have some PTSD going back to
MetLife Stadium. He should just get a place up in the Poconos. 45 minutes outside of town, live off the grid, and just drive into the city. He never has to see any of it. He could buy a place up at one of those old summer camps that they have up there.
Or fly
a nice 40 acres. Yeah.
On a helicopter every day. Sam
Darnold. that'll get fan favor.
Yeah, yeah, on a chopper. But it's just that the quarterback dynamic is wild to me in this.
Well, he's driving into New Jersey. He's not driving into New York City.
That's true.
He wouldn't have to deal with the really bad traffic.
No, you're right. You're right.
You get 45 minutes outside of the Jersey area there, the Hackensack area.
It's
and
nice.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's very pretty up there for sure. So the free agency thing, the quarterback class is kind of wild. The running, not nearly as much star power in this running back class as last year. Man, it's a good thing the Texans had a running back need with last year's class of free agents or potential free agents in the case of Mixon. Then this year, the top of this year's class, Aaron Jones, J.K. Dobbins, Najee Harris, and banged up Nick Chubb. Last year, the top of the class was Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, kind of Joe Mixon, you know.
Mixon was a trade. But it was in an active free agency where the Bengals wanted to shed his salary and go a different route. So they sign a lesser free agent. But it was all part
of
that
mix. Jacobs. It's like this is, would you, any of these guys, are you looking at the list, Seth? Any of these guys that you would?
I'm always intrigued by Nick Chubb 24/7. I got a Chubb,
You're very Chubb oriented.
Chubb is a guy that could come in and maybe, you know, doesn't have to have the full workload on him.
Yeah.
Given all his injuries and everything, he intrigues me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The running backs, I think if the Texans bring in a new running back, I think it's via the draft. And then also, I wonder that they're a lot higher on Damian Pierce, the football player, than I have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very open to, hey, Damian Pierce, maybe with a different offensive coordinator, it can be a whole different deal. I mean, we saw some very good flashes out of him at the end of the season.
Yep. The wide receiver list, Stephon Diggs is the only Texans free agent to show up on any of these lists.
Yeah.
Which I think is noteworthy, and we'll get to the wide receivers here in a second. I think is noteworthy. If you're a Texan fan, that the core is all coming back next year. Like, Diggs is by far the biggest name that's hitting free agency that was a Texan last year, and he was only a Texan for half the season. He's third among wide receivers right now, Seth, behind T. Higgins, who got franchise tagged yesterday, and Chris Godwin, who ended the season on IR.
I thought the interesting thing about this list was that four of the top six guys in free agency for the wide receiver group in this list are coming off of one-year stints with their previous team.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, or less than a full year.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, and Stephon Diggs. That, I think it speaks to two things. One, that, man, the really good wide receivers are either getting retained by their teams or they're getting traded for very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the wide receiver trade packages have been super aggressive. And there's not a lot out there this year. There's nobody that's necessarily, there's nobody I think the Texans should go whole hog on and try to pay $20 million a year or and have to give up draft picks if they're franchise tagged.
Yeah, this is a, man, if you're somebody who is hoping to shop for big time wide receivers, first of all, Higgins was essentially taken off the market yesterday with a franchise tag. The next five guys, Seth, all dealt with some level of being banged up over the last couple of years. Godwin and Diggs both ended the season on IR. Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs. Keenan Allen's been banged up the last couple of years and hasn't been who he was. He's 33. Hopkins, you saw in the playoffs, Hopkins does not have that same gear that he had. You know, he had one catch in the first two postseason games for the Chiefs combined, dropped a big ball on a third down in the Super Bowl, and he's fifth on this free agency list right now.
If you look at, and this is one of our listeners a couple of weeks ago had made a point that I think is a better point than I acknowledged at the time, because he had said, hey, name me the teams that have two high-priced wide receivers that have won a Super Bowl. It was a really bad point in the moment because the Eagles had just won a Super Bowl with two high-priced wide receivers. But when you look at the teams last year that had two receivers making more than $20 million per year, you had the Eagles, obviously. You had the Dolphins. You had the 49ers. You had the Bears, the Texans, and the Bucks. So other than the Eagles, you only had one team that won a playoff game, and the Texans did it without even having one of those high-priced guys on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be wary of overspending at wide receiver. I would much rather have an impact tight end at this point to have a broad complement of receiving weapons than I would a $25 million wide receiver to go along with Nico Collins.
Yep. All right. Let's page down, Seth. Let's get to the fetish that's yours, and that is guard, the fatties.
Yes.
You got some names? Okay, so there's multiple approaches the Texans can take here. We know that the guard position is more represented in mock drafts for the Texans than any other position. The mock drafters have them taking interior O-line than any other position. And then there's free agency, where you've got the tippy top of the market with Trey Smith, who's franchise tagged. I'm out on that. You got to trade draft capital for the right to overpay him. I'm out on that. But I, like you, am in on some of these guys. And I think these are probably names fans aren't familiar with, but I think these are names that fans probably in the next 6 days need to get familiar with.
Because there's a very good chance that the Texans make a non-marquee interior offensive line signing that ends up being really good for the Texans. Because you don't have to have an all-pro guard in there. We need to have competent guys who ideally have a bit more of a swarm mentality. Yeah, I think that Shaq Mason, when he was in his prime, was a very swarm type of dude. I don't think he's physically capable of playing the way he used to play anymore. But this is why I stopped being as worried about the Texans going after Trey Smith, the guard from the Chiefs who's been franchise tagged. Like, Kevin Zeitler. Kevin Zeitler is going to be 35 years old this year, but he's a guard for the Lions, and he's still playing very, very well. He's one of the guys that I watch. Every time I turn on the Lions this year, I'm like, all right, these guys just, look at that. They're playing with sound technique. They're playing with physicality.
It's tough to watch.
These are the kinds of guys that I want. Yeah, it was hard.
As a Texan fan, it was tough to watch, yeah.
Because the Lions did everything very swarmy on their offensive line. So Zeitler's going to be 35. That seems like a classic Nick Caserio type of signing.
Yeah.
You give him a really good 2-year deal. But it's hard for me not to think of Andrew Whitmore or Whitworth, who went to the Rams as a mid-30s guy and ended up playing way longer than anybody thought he would. So there's guys like that that I think would be very, very smart signings for the
Texans. I'm looking at Zeitler's Pro Football Reference page, like the back of his football card, figuratively. And I'll go back, like, from the time he was 25 years old, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 15, 16, 17, 15, 16, 16. He's a rock, dude.
Yeah.
He answers the bell.
I think in terms of culture and trying to get a little bit more of what the defense has on the offensive side of the ball, I think that would be a great signing.
I think that
would be really, really good. And I think he could he just looks, if you look at his headshot, you know, he just looks like the kind of guy that would be happy to play football until he's 40. So get him on a 2-year contract, a lucrative 2-year contract. I'd feel really good about that. The other side of the spectrum would be somebody like Mekhi Becton.
Mm.
And this is a guy that 2 years ago I would have said, like, what the hell are you talking about? Mekhi Becton is a guard, and why would you want him?
He was a bust in the Jets.
Yeah, he was a bust, but he's done very well as a guard for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
He's only 25 years old. He weighs 360 pounds. The sheer mass. When I saw the Texans at the end of the year actually get some movement against good defensive lines in the run game in the playoffs. Like there was, that was when you realized, man, boy, Bobby Slowick really did not have a good feel for what he should be leaning into with these guys, that they're a lot better at inside zone and the power game, using a fullback, all that stuff, than I think they thought they were, or at least maybe it didn't click for him until then. But yeah, I think there's multiple options and ways they could go with this. Looking at the total list of guards that are available, I'm actually going to be kind of surprised if the Texans don't sign one of them.
Even like off of this top 10, like you're saying, like in the range of this list you and I are talking about here, like a top 10 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be...
Because there's so many of them, too, that the price tag might not be as high as you might fear.
And that's not a pricey position to begin with either, often, is guard. Two things on Mekhi Becton, real quick. One, his teammates really seem to like him in Philly. I saw like footage during the playoffs when they were winning playoff games and getting to a Super Bowl. You know, he played for the Jets for 3 years before he got to Philly.
Yeah.
He didn't play in any games that even closely resembled a playoff game when he was with the Jets. His teammates were like mobbing him and super happy for him that he was getting to play in games like this. Well-liked. That's what I take away from that. Well-liked.
And remember, in the entire playoffs, he was playing next to, at any given time, a center who was banged up or a backup, or they were a mess at center, and they still got it done.
Now, number two, this is more of a question. Somebody you know very well, Jeff Stoutland, is the O-line coach there. Do you worry that you're not going to get the same version of Mekhi Becton when he's not under the watchful eye of the greatest offensive line coach of this generation anymore?
I think that's where the big unknown is. All right, what...
Cole Popovich?
Yeah, what is Cole Popovich? Same as, you know, what is Nick Caley? There's a lot of things that make sense about Nick Caley, but until we see him actually put in action, we don't know. Yeah. So that's... I can't be as confident that Cole Popovich is going to be as good as the best offensive line coach in the league
right now. Sure. Yeah. Is there any shopping you want to do on the defensive side on this free agency list here that you like? Anything on the defensive tackle front? Do you think the Texans shop in top 10 defensive tackle range?
I thought the most interesting thing about this is that Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi are not in the top 10, and that every year we go through this where people freak out because the Texans don't sign an defensive tackle, and then the next year they get PO'd that one of the defensive tackles you did sign leaves. Yeah, we've been through this multiple times.
2 years now. Yeah.
We're like, they lost Sheldon Rankins and they didn't replace him. What the hell?
Yeah,
and now this year it's going to be like, they lost Mario Edwards and they didn't replace him. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Milton Williams, man, that dude made himself some money. He's the number one tackle on the list from the Eagles. He made himself some money. Milton Williams, how about this? This is for the Eagles defense. Milton Williams is the number one defensive tackle in free agency, according to The Athletic. Josh Sweat is the number one edge defender, and Zach Baum is the number one linebacker. Mm-hmm. All hail Vic Fangio.
I would worry more about that than what we were just talking about. Okay, is Mekhi Becton going to be as good with this offensive line coach? I would worry more about, okay, how do these guys look in a different defensive scheme?
Mm-hmm.
And without perhaps Vic Fangio, the way he was coordinating the game last year, he put guys in position to make plays.
Yeah.
And they did it with, you know, playing a lot of zone, not blitzing, doing things that, because it was so well coached, those guys were able to make a lot of plays. And so for the Texans, I wouldn't worry about it because D'Amico is also a very, very good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if their price is going to be driven up higher than it probably should be.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. So it'll be fun, man. This time next week, free agency. These are all names that are going to be flying off the board next Monday. We'll see if the Texans are in on any of these guys. Go ahead.
One of the guards that I would also like is Will Freeze from the Colts, just because, and he's a top-rated guy
number one right now.
Partly just to stick it to the Colts. I really love.
That's why you
want to
sign him.
Specifically for that spite.
Petty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this. This is good.
I want Anthony Richardson to. I want him to complete 40% of his passes this year.
Bolsters our
record. And if Casero gives a damn about my goals and dreams, then he'll do everything he can. Yank good players away from the Colts.
Yep. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Okay. Do you guys agree with Ron's take that he keeps having that the salary cap isn't real? Seems like you got to pay the piper eventually.
Yeah, no, it's He can't possibly be serious with that take, is he? No, he's not serious with that take.
Did he say? I didn't hear. I've heard. I think their show, Clint and Ron, are generally a little more dismissive of the salary cap than you and I are.
Yeah.
That's not a criticism. That's just the way. That's the lens they look at the salary cap through. That's fine. There's teams that look at it that way too. You know.
Well,
what I mean?
No, they look at it that way, but they know they're going to have to pay the piper at some point. It's credit card spending.
At
some point, the bill comes due.
That's why I need to know. Did Ron literally say that the salary cap isn't real? Because if that's the case, that's a bad take.
No, because he's from Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, he's followed the Chiefs very closely, and he understands that it's. When people say it's not real, there's ways around it. I've never understood when smart people say the salary cap isn't real because it's so obvious every single year that it is. I don't get it. So I think they're just exaggerating the point. There's ways to get things done to work around the cap and to be creative with it, but it's not like every team in the league isn't dialed in on the salary cap every single day and trying to figure out exactly how to work up to it as close as possible.
If it weren't real, there would be no such thing as an unwanted cap casualty. There'd be cap casualties because teams would be like, "Well, we just don't want to pay this guy $18 million. We'll take the cap savings on it."
Yeah,
no team would ever let a good player go, Seth.
No. It's one of the dumbest things that I hear smart people say all the time, and I don't get it, and I don't understand what leads them to that.
Yeah,
but I think it's linked to all the other bad things in society right now.
Okay, politics.
Not politics, just everything in general.
Gotcha. Yes. All right,
geez, Sean. I would have like 29 texts who on both sides of the aisle thinking that I'm making a statement about some politician.
All right, let's get to Hard Knocks, something that everybody can agree on. I don't know if it is or not. Hard Knocks off season. This came down over the weekend, and that reportedly, I'm so disappointed in this, Seth. Hard Knocks offseason, which was, I think, that was my favorite of the three versions they've got out right now. They've got the original, which is training camp with one team. They've got the in-season, which used to be in-season with one team. Now it's in-season with a whole division, the AFC North last year. And they had the off-season one, which by far got the most audio run on this show of any Hard Knocks ever, aside from the one the Texans were involved in 2015. Or on this station, I should say.
It was almost unanimously regarded as a horrible look for the Giants organization.
And an entertaining horrible look. Like, we were entertained by it.
With foreshadowing that they couldn't even produce or predicted. You had the owner of the Giants saying, I'm going to have a really hard time watching Saquon Barkley play for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And not only did he go play for the Eagles, but he had one of the best seasons of all time and won a Super Bowl.
Yes, yeah. It could not have gone worse for the Giants. And yet the GM kept his job. Yeah, it's amazing. So we're going to be Hard Knocks off season. They're not going to do an NFL team. They're going to do Bill Belichick's North Carolina college program. In off season Hard Knocks, they're doing on paper, a middling ACC school that happens to have the greatest coach of all time as the head coach. So we'll talk about what it means in a second, but just know that we're going to be deprived of audio like this.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know if I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but
I'm gonna have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that, as I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players, but he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
I love that last little, yeah. Yeah, whatever, old man. Get out of my office.
And that guy kept his job, man.
Get out of here, Nepo baby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we'll be deprived of GMs trying to dupe old head owners during free agency now. We won't get to see anymore.
We're going to get to see Bill Belichick in a different environment than we ever thought we would see him in. And I think that it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, are you intrigued enough to watch this?
I'm super intrigued by it. You said greatest coach of all time. He's the greatest NFL coach of all time. One of the greatest college coaches of all time, Urban Meyer, was an abysmal failure as an NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The fun thing about this for Belichick, I guess, is that... it's off season, so you don't necessarily get the comeuppance or anything. I think it's going to be a very good look for Belichick because people are going to see a different side of him that people have worked with Belichick will tell you that, no, he's a lot different when you talk to him one-on-one and everything. So we're going to see that different side of Belichick that could probably help him in recruiting down the road.
Oh, yeah.
And people are going to see grandfatherly Bill Belichick, but also with a 24-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, no, this documentary is being done for two reasons. One, recruiting. You're going to see Belichick. People are going to see the inside of what he has himself called an NFL program at a college level. So recruits are going to see how the whole thing operates. It'll be very curated. I'm sure that he and probably Mike Lombardi, I'm guessing Mike Lombardi is who is his GM at North Carolina. They have GMs now at the collegiate level. Mike Lombardi, I'm guessing this is probably going to be a pet project of his to make Belichick look a certain kind of way.
Censoring everything?
Yes.
Because teams are allowed to censor, usually, at least on the NFL version. They've been allowed to strike stuff if they want
to. And Lombardi's been out there in that content generation world the last few years, so he's probably got some ideas as to how that thing could look good. And number two, and you touched on it, this is Belichick flexing to show off his now, I guess, 24-year-old girlfriend to everybody. Was she 23 last year? I don't know. She's still in her mid-20s.
I bet we're going to see more of the coach's girlfriend and or wife than we ever have on a Hard Knocks.
Yes.
I think she's going to...
That part will get curated in.
She does not seem bashful to be on camera or anything. She's not trying to wait in the wings. I'm still intrigued by that initial photo we saw of those two together when it was first announced that they were a pair, where they met on an airplane, and it looked like they were sitting in coach.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, like, okay, look, it's not like Belichick needs fancy circumstances or anything, but I would imagine he flies first class most of the time.
I don't know.
So I'm guessing it was a Southwest flight.
Maybe.
And then I'm just kind of wondering, we talked the other day about trying to jockey for position when you're getting on a Southwest flight. I wonder how much jockeying went into her all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting next to Bill Belichick. What a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you're underrating maybe the target-rich environment that coach could be on a plane for Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, you got that's where the 23-year-old co-eds are. They're not up in first class.
Oh, you think he's intentionally sitting in coach?
Possibly. Oh. He's a very smart man. He's very regimented. He has a plan, you know?
It might have been Belichick that was the one jockeying for position.
Possibly.
Or just going up to the podium. If it wasn't a Southwest flight, going up to the podium, be like, I want to be in 24B.
Right.
Sure, Mr. Coach Belichick, are you sure you want to be in a middle seat? Yes, this time I do. Do it, get it done.
No, not that middle seat. That middle seat.
That specific middle
seat. That one right there. Yes. I'm just putting it out there that it could be the possibility. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking forward to this. I wonder how the other colleges feel about it. Like, this is a... Now, here's the thing. With other colleges, most of these big-time schools now have really good social media and content generation staffs that put out. Like, I mean, I just know my alma mater does. Like, there were some amazing documentary type stuff put out on Notre Dame this last year. So I would say, like, if you're a college that's upset about this, you feel like Belichick's getting an unfair advantage, put out some of your own stuff, man.
I think that Belichick
start a podcast.
Yeah, I think Belichick is probably going to follow the same strategy Jim Harbaugh did at Stanford, which is, all right, we can. Because it's an academically tougher school to get into for student athletes, that Harbaugh really leaned into, like, okay, these guys might not be as physically gifted, but they tend to be hyper competitive, or more so, we got guys that really, really want to compete. Mm-hmm. So I think with Belichick, his sell isn't going to be the money side of things. It's going to be for genuine student athletes, but then they can give him some money, but he's got to sell him on that NFL side of things. Like, hey, you're not a five-star recruit, but we can get you. We can take dead aim on those five-star recruits that think they're so hot, and we'll do everything we can to get you into the league.
Yep.
And so it's not going to be a money appeal. It's going to be more so a total package.
Yeah. Probably you're right. Probably both, but with Belichick skewed towards the getting to the next level part. I think you're 100% right on that. Hey, man, big doings last night. Did you see, this is big doings for me, Dolly Parton's husband passed away.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Dolly Parton. You know that I feel like Dolly Parton is maybe the greatest person walking the face of the earth.
Oh, you're saying, I didn't even think of this angle.
Yeah.
That Dolly Parton is a single woman for the first time since she was 18 years old.
I got to find out if she sits in coach and maybe I can get a middle seat next to her. Amy's been put on notice. She knows that. I think her parents know it because they send me Dolly memes all the time. Like, they know. Like, this was something that's going to ratchet up the competition for Amy. Dolly Parton now being available.
When you go to Dollywood, it's as much of a scouting mission for you now as it is a time to enjoy
scouting mission. It's like a trip to Mecca for Hakeem Olajuwon. You know?
I guess it's a recruiting mission.
Yeah, now it is. Yeah, now it's recruiting. But yeah, like before it was worship. Yes,
he was. I'll tell you what, because he was very much in the shadows. He was very private.
A lot of
people would have never guessed that she had a husband,
yeah,
other than reading interviews, because he was very rarely on camera. But and she said that he was really, really shy. This is a good lesson for the younger guys.
Yeah.
18 years old, she had just moved to Nashville. She had put her clothes in the laundry at a laundromat, and then she wanted to walk out. I think it was Nashville,
yeah,
right? Then she wanted to walk out and take a look at the town. She said, I started walking down the street just looking at my new home, and this guy hollered at me, and I waved. Being from the country, I spoke to everybody. And he came over, and, well, it was Carl, my husband.
Wow. He shot his shot.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. That is a great lesson for the kids, Seth.
When she hollered at me, I don't think it was like a cat call or anything. He probably just said, hello, how are you,
Did the thing where people stick their finger and their thumb in their mouth and whistled? I can't do it, but he's like...
She was coming from the sticks, and it just showed up in the big city.
Like,
so
the
sticks. So she probably
sticks.
hadn't grown a callus yet to being approached by random strangers and stuff. And he asked her out, and she said, well, I don't know you, so we'll get to know each other and everything. They get married. It wasn't a shotgun wedding. I don't think they ever had kids.
No.
But they got married with like two people in attendance, and they stayed married her entire life.
62
his entire
years.
Life.
Yeah, 62. Yeah. He was 82 years old, man. He was 82.
So the lesson, put it out there, man.
Yeah.
Just say hi.
Shoot your shot.
Just say hi. Don't be like, hey, you're hot. You want to do it? No, just say hello.
Yeah. Okay? All right. This is good, too, because now I have the roadmap. If Amy gets a little sideways with me, I've got the roadmap to get Dolly. I just know I need to find her somewhere walking down the street and holler at her.
As she's doing her laundry.
As she's doing her laundry,
After she puts her laundry in a coin laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all debit cards these days, but
you
know.
Right. I don't know. Tennessee might still be coins.
Her other advice? I always joke and laugh when people ask me what's the key to my long marriage and lasting love.
Yeah.
I always say, stay gone.
Yes.
Then there's a lot of truth to that. I travel a lot, but we really enjoy each other when we're together and the little things we do.
The occasional separation is not a bad thing, I think.
She seems like the faithful type, too.
Yes. Yes, she does.
She
You would even imply otherwise. I mean, the opposite is she's a whore. Yes, she's faithful. She was faithful to him for 62 years.
That'd be hard to be married to a sex symbol and
she
just
was,
waiting
man.
In the wings all the time and everything and probably
still
getting
is.
Just all kinds of letters and attention all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a confident man right there. or a guy who knows who butters the bread in their household.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He lived in Dollywood all the time, man. Somebody like Dolly probably will not get remarried. Well, she's like 80. I don't know that she's getting
Oh God, no.
Is this somebody telling me that I have no shot? Is that what this text is? I'm going to read it that way. Somebody like Dolly, Sean, probably will not get remarried. I added
Sean. Yeah, but she might go out and try to have the 20s she never had.
Yeah, man.
You know?
She never really got to get out there, you know? Just
She never had a 20s back in the 1940s.
That's it, man. All right. So, Amy knows as soon as the news came down, I turned to her and I showed her my phone and I said, you've been put on notice, Amy. She is available. Capital S. She is available. The Queen, Dolly Parton. All right, mock draft injection with audio about the prospect that the Texans tab. Would you be? I think this is one that Texan fans, the sense I get, would be really, really happy with. We'll discuss that. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joins us at the top of the hour in studio. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, big thanks or a big congrats and thanks for listening and congrats on winning the journey tickets to Jonathan and Dickinson. That's worth the long trip in from Dickinson to go see Journey at the rodeo, I would say.
How far is it out to Dickinson?
Probably about 45 minutes, I think. 45, 50 minutes, something like that. Maybe close to an hour, depending on what time of day you go. 45 can be... 45 going that way. You've lived down that way before, Seth.
Yeah.
It can be tricky.
Oh, yeah. That's, further south than, yeah.
It's kind of between, kind of down Galveston way.
Sometimes it's 45 minutes and sometimes it's 2 hours.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I would say worth the trip to go see Journey.
I think my next is I try to live in just about every county in the greater Houston area, area at some point in my life. I want to go up north. I want to get myself some acreage.
Oh yeah.
I want to get just build a little. Brandy and I are empty nesters now. Just a little 2-room cabin or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yourself with your hands with logs and everything.
That's a good idea, but probably not. No, that sounds like the kind of thing I would spend about 3 days doing. And be like, "What? This is dumb. I'm going to have a professional do this for me.
I admire you getting through 3 days of that. Be like 3 seconds.
I can love any kind of physical labor for about 3 days before I'm like, well, this is inefficient. I need somebody that's, it's not that I'm lazy. You see, it's just there's people who are better capable of doing this. Yeah.
You know me. I was literally on a walk yesterday and I saw somebody shoveling a hole in their front yard and I'm like, oh, that looks miserable. They're shoveling a little hole. I'm like, I can't do it, man. I outsource everything.
Digging is the one that loses its luster the quickest.
Yeah, that's kind of
you
what
go
I was
from
thinking.
Being like, whoa, why I don't need a gym membership when I can just dig ditches. That lasts about 4 shovelfuls. Yeah,
it's now repetitive. Yeah, I've shovels in. All right, let's get to the mock draft injection. Mike Thoman, Texans team president, going to join us in studio here in the next 10 or 15 minutes. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports. You a Joel Klatt fan, Seth? Maine. Color commentator on Fox's college football coverage.
He's all right.
He's good. Yeah, I think I like Joel Klatt. I think he does a good job. We'll see how good a job he did mocking guys to the Houston Texans. With the 25th overall pick in the Joel Klatt FoxSports.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Emeka Abuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Who, according to Drew Doherty's mock draft roundup, is the second most mocked guy among respected mockers to the Texans behind Tyler Booker of Alabama.
And Tyler Booker, it's going to be interesting to see how his draft stock fares over the next few days because he had a disappointing workout at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyler Booker, who at times looked like, oh, there's no way he'll be there at 25, maybe that ends up being a good thing. I'm not as scared off by his workout numbers, especially as a guard, than I might otherwise be. But that's certainly a name to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, here's what Klatt says about Abuka, and then we'll play some audio from some other guys on Abuka. Texans need help for C.J. Stroud. One way to do that is by giving him a player he's familiar with already. Abuka is one of my favorite players in the draft. Now, we should point out, Joel Klatt probably did about 4 or 5 Ohio State games this past season.
Yeah.
He's on the Big Noon Saturday coverage with Gus Johnson, and they do Ohio State games all the time. So he saw a ton of Abuka. The duo were really productive at Ohio State, and Abuka will succeed in the NFL. Will.
Oh.
In italics, Seth. In italics.
Oh, okay. That raises my cackles a little bit because I feel like that's a classic thing that a GM would never say about a 25th pick overall.
But
no matter how much you love a guy, you've been burned before.
Yes.
You don't say that he will work out.
He's a worker, a technician with his routes, good with the ball in his hands, fast and sturdy enough to play in the slot. Now, that's interesting. Here's Mel Kiper Jr. on Emeka Abuka.
He is the ultimate professional, all business. Experience, you can count on him. We talk about quarterbacks, first one in, last one out. Who's the great leader? Who sets the tone? Who does everybody go to for knowledge and information and everything you need to be a great football player? Emeka Abuka is that guy.
Yeah, that's the stuff that, honestly, for Kiper, I like that kind of stuff. Because Kiper's not a film study guy. I think he's trying to become more of one, but he's got a lot of connections. And when somebody gushes over the top about how a player is, and especially with the way that D'Amico Ryans analyzes players, I get excited about that aspect of him. And the athleticism isn't as electrifying as a lot of the other guys that we've seen mock to the Texans as a wide receiver. But the... the professionalism, or at least the elements that lead to professionalism once he becomes a professional, I think that's really going to appeal to the Texans. Mm-hmm. And I could see that being the dividing line between him and some other guys. Not to say those other guys are bad guys, but this is at a big-time university where which has a history of churning out really good receivers as of late in the NFL. I think that if Ibuka's there, there's a really, really good chance that's who they go with.
It'll be interesting, too, Seth, what they do in free. Any of this draft stuff, we have to account for the fact that we have not seen what they do in free agency, which is going to take place next week. You know, if they haven't gone out and gotten a speed guy as a wide receiver, you know, if they've gone and gotten a couple older technicians, to use Joel Klatt's word, then that amps up, I think, the need to get maybe more of a guy who's a downfield threat.
More of a burner. Yeah.
Like Matthew Golden's from Texas is a guy who they talk about him being able to get open at all three levels of the field, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Ibuka's a real good player. I'd be happy with it. You know, I think it'd be real solid. I'm sure C.J. Stroud would be thrilled with it. Here's Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network on Ibuka. I think he had Ibuka mocked to the Texans as well.
You have a cerebral quarterback. Now you have someone who's a cerebral receiver who he has history with, who's just a pro's pro. What did they hit? What did they hit on? They hit on Will Anderson. Pro. Yep. Like, just a pro. C.J. Stroud is a pro. Like, you're starting to build that culture. It's the image of D'Amico Ryans. That's who D'Amico Ryans was. Just professional in every which way. Great as a point. Player and as a coach. So I love that match there.
Then the other part of it where I always get nervous with this is that it is awesome to have a room full of awesome guys all the time. But at some time, you do just need that freakishly great athleticism. That there's a balance there between having freaks and then having good dudes,
right?
And if you start to lean into too much of the good dude side on the highly athletic traits type positions, then you're walking in murky waters there. But I still feel very good about it.
No, you need the occasional guy. We're not talking about you got to bring in criminals or anything like that, but you need the occasional guy who will like an Instagram model's post while he's sitting out a game, that kind of thing. Remember, remember Clowney did that?
Who did? Clowney?
It was Clowney who did that, I think it was Clowney. I mean, that's just a little spacey, you know what I mean?
He was sitting up in the suite. It wasn't like he was on the sideline, you know, doing it.
Right.
He was just doing what a guy's going to do. Yeah, he says there's nothing he can do to help the guys on the sideline at that point.
I tried to tell the people that at the time, too, Seth. It didn't work. They were angry about it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
Because of that, though, too, I wonder with Ibuka, if he's one of the wide receivers that's there at 25, but there's other positions that have more of the first-round type physical traits, I think that the other positions win out. If it's a defensive tackle that's got more of the classic profile, and they look at Ibuka as a guy that, man, if we would trade up to get him early in the second round, maybe that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he very much seems like a Texans culture. If you want to have more of what the defense has, but on the offensive side of the ball, I think Ibuka is the kind of guy you want to have.
I think that's the bingo. I think that's the best point of the whole thing. Yep. All right. So that was our mock draft injection for today. Emeka Ibuka to the Houston Texans. All right. Up next, Mike Tolman, Texans team president, is going to join us. He's a few weeks into the job. We'll find out how things are going here. Obviously, a lot of news about the stadium that we'll get to, the team, how's he acclimating, all of that good stuff. And we'll get to know him a little bit. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joins us in studio next.